divide the shiur into three parts. First, the Yisuf Chametz itself. There may be four parts. Chametz is in it following Yisurim. Chametz is also Be'hanah. It's also Be'achila. It's a Niso Baliroya and a Niso Balimotze. And it's a Niso Esse of Tashbisu that you have to destroy your Chametz. The Yisur Achila itself, the Oynish for somebody who eats Chametz, the Oynish is Chorus. The Yisur Hano is a, we learn from the Yisur Achila. Bahiroa Balimotze is an Yisur Lav. Every time you over Bahiroa, you're almost always over Balimotze, few exceptions. And generally, you over two lavins. If you over bali roi, you over bali matzah, or vice versa, you over two lavins. And the oynish theoretically could be 80 malchus rather than 40 malchus. If somehow it becomes a lasha yesh b'mais. What's the isra bali roi bali matzah? The isra, basically, the isra bali roi bali matzah is that we are not allowed to have comments in our possession on Pesach. What that means is that we can't be the owners of Chometz, and also we cannot have achrayas for Chometz that doesn't belong to us. For example, if the Chometz belongs to a goy, and we have responsibility for that Chometz, we shomrim on that Chometz, so that something should happen to that Chometz, we'll have to pay the goy back. We over the lafu baliroi balimot. We learn that from Sukkot. So if somehow a goy should leave chometz in our house so that we have some kind of achrayus on that chometz, the Shavura Paskins that we have to be machmir filu achrayus shoy mechinot, so we'll be over and bali roi bali motz, and that chometz must be destroyed. How much chometz you need to be over bali roi bali motz? Machloik is in the poiskim, the way we pass him, you need a kezayis, the size of chometz of a kezayis, it's a be'achilus prat. Whether it's an isokat shishir min atoira on baliro balimot, it's also machloik is in the poiskim. So therefore, even a koshu who chometz, as far as baliro balimot, we really should get rid of, because of this machloik is a poiskim, it is an isokat shishir on baliro. What happens to this Isra Bali Roy? How do we prevent the Bali Roy Isra from happening? So we know, the Rishonim say that in the Torah says you cannot have chometz on Pesach. You can own it, you can't have it in your possession, and you can't have a prize for the chometz of a goy. However, we know that every one of us has chometz. At one time or another, before Pesach, we have chometz. In order to stop the Isra from happening, so we must get rid of that Chometz. How do we get rid of that Chometz? By physically taking it and getting it out of our homes. In order to take the Chometz out of our homes, we first have to know where it is, and we have to find it. But a many Rishonim hold that Bedikas Chometz is a preventive of Bali Roi Bali Motze. And being that we all have chometz without any exception, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to be boided for the chometz in order to get rid of it. So there are many Rishonim hold that Bedikas chometz is the right. In addition to that, there's another way of getting rid of the chometz, and that process is called bitul chometz. According to Tosfos on the Ran, other Rishonim, so bikul chometz means that you are mafkir the chometz. You say that you don't want this chometz, you don't want to be the owner of the chometz. Once you mafkir the chometz, you're no longer the owner of that chometz, and you're not over the isur bali roe midirash. According to Rashi, Hefker is not Bitul. Bitul means totally something other than Hefker. What it means is that we look at Chometz that he has no value to us, it's Ke'afer the arrow, and we learn from Psukim that the Targum Taiches Tashbisu Tevatlum. So Rashi learns that Bitul is a kiyum of Tashbisu. Being as is made, the Machlokes Rishonim what Bitul is, so we must be like both of them. When we are Mevatul the Chometz, the lotion that we use is a lotion of which encompasses both Rashi and Koisvitz, and we Mevatul the Chometz by saying they have a Hefker Ke'afro the Aro, and also that to us it has no meaning whatsoever, and we don't want it. Once we don't want the Chometz, so the Chometz is no longer of any value to us, and we know over by the Roy. Chazal made a takona, and they said that the Gemara says, "Avoidek Torah sheyavatel." If you do betikas chometz, so remember we said midiraisa betikas chometz is sufficient in order not to be over by Yiroi. What would happen if you search your whole house for chometz? You found chometz. Erev Pesach, you got rid of the chometz. Comes Pesach and you find another piece of chometz. Halacha is you're not over on that piece of chometz by Yiroi or by Moser, because you did a bedikas chometz, and that's sufficient not to be over by Yiroi or by Yimot. But the Gemara says that avoid the tzar sheyavatim. If you do bedikas chometz, midrabanan, you also have to do bitul chometz. Why? Because I'm afraid that you search for the chometz, you miss a piece of chometz, you find a piece of chometz on Pesach, and you'll be over by Yiroi. How will you be over by Yiroi? So Rashi says, the Dai Tiluya, the Gemara says, and Rashi Taiches, the Dai Tiluya, Chas, all of Milosorfu. You won't want to burn it, and therefore, you'll be over on the Yisro by Yiroi. So that's what Chazal in the second, that you should do Bitul too. Obviously, according to Rashi, if you do Bitul and then you find the Chometz, and you delay the burning of the Chometz, you won't be over by Yiroi anyhow, because you were Mevatel. That's Shita's Rashi. Shita's of Tosfos is that if you find chometz on Pesach, even after the Dika, the second you find it, you'll be over about Yiroi, because it was always there, and the Dika doesn't prevent that. So, therefore, Chazal says that since we might miss something during the Dika, so we have to do Bitul also. That's the Gemara. So now, the obvious question is, all of us here, whoever's making Pesach, it's a lot of work to make Pesach. So the answer would be, just do Bitul and forget about the Bedikah. Because the Gemara doesn't say anything about this. So me mevatel the Chometz, and the Chometz, that's foolproof. Because if you mevatel the Chometz, even if you find Chometz, so what's wrong? You find the Chometz, you're not over by Yiroi anyhow. All you do when you find it, you get rid of it. But why do you have to look for it before? Because the Machlokes Rishonim, why? Why does the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Psachim, says, Or le Abbaosa, Boitkin et Chometz, Or Aner, so the Rishonim want to know, why should you do the Dika? I have a much easier answer, let's just do Bitul. And then Mevatel the Chometz, and I don't have to get rid of anything. So again, there is the Machlokes Rishonim, the Ran and Tosfos, Rashi. They all say that the reason that even if I do Bitul, I must also do a bedikah is because we're afraid, for one thing, that you won't do a good bittul. Bittul is not something that's a magical word. And that brings us to halacha lemaisa. If a person is mevatel his chometz and he doesn't mean it, then that bittul is not a bittul. It's not like davening Shmona Esrei that did have you yotze, even if you down with Akavon, at least a middle bracha. But if you said the Bitul Chometz that it says in the Haggadah, and you had no idea what you were saying, and even if you knew what you were saying, you didn't really mean it, then that Bitul is not a Bitul. So Chazal were afraid that amongst the many, many Yidden that do Bitul Chometz, there'll be some kind of a Yid that will do the Bitul Chometz, and he won't mean it, and he'll be over by Yiroi. So the Meila, they said, we're not going to rely on Bitul. We have to physically get rid of all our chametz. We're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach. That is a Kedei HaDerabon. So if you do Bittu, you still have to do Bedika. Midiraisa, you don't have to. And Midirabon, you do have to. Why? Shema, somebody will be that I won't be Mevatel at Belay Sholem, and he'll be over on the Yisra Baliron Balimot. And the Rishonim say, the Brahm says, that it's another Chash. You do Bittu. Gevaldik. You do Bittu Chomet. By the Seder Shel Pesach, you have on the table matzahs. Next to the matzahs, you have a bottle of Johnny Walker Black and a piece of cherry pie. So you're not over any Yisra because you have mevatelet. You don't care. Let anybody take it. It's hefer ke'avra le'aro. But we're afraid that you'll forget that it's Pesach and you might come to eat that chomet. So the Ran says, because of Shema Yovel le'ochloi, Chazal said that we cannot rely on it. So the Meila, we have to do both. Midarabonon, we must do both. Midaraisa, you have a choice. Either do Bedika or do Bittu. But Midarabonon, you have to do both Bedika and Bittu in order not to be over the Isor of Baliro or Balimotze, or according to the Ran, the Isor of Achilas comes. Now, because of that, we have all those simonim in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach that have to do with preparing our homes for Pesach, which we call Bedikas Chometz. What are we being boidek for? If we do Bedikas Chometz, what exactly are we looking for? In the Halach it's not clear. Believe it or not, in the Mishabrur it's not clear, in the Achronim it's not clear whether you have to be boidek achar pirurim or not. Basically, we all understand that we have to get rid of our chometz. So if we have a loaf of bread, so that's poshet. We've got to get rid of the loaf of bread. If we have a slice of bread, that's also poshet. We have to go get the slice of bread and get rid of it. How about crumbs? Crumbs that may be someplace on the floor, or on the cabinet, or on the bookshelf, or in the tzvarim. What's the din of those crumbs? In the Gemara, obviously, the Gemara says, Pirurim avetelim melei. Pirurim are always bottled, whether you're mevatel it, or you're not mevatel it. Because of the din of Bal Yiroe, you don't have to be boidek achar pirurim. However, because of the din of Shema Yovel le'ochlor, the Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Machne Yisrael, he wrote a sefer for those that were recruited into the army, and he wrote a Kitzur Halachos amongst them Hilchos Pesach, so that they have somehow they would know what to do while they're in the army. So there he writes clear that you have to be boidek achar pirurim because of Achshash or Shema Yovel Le'ochlo. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says that Pirurim that are on the floor, you don't have to be Boideka, because there's Zichah Betelim and they're not Roy Le'chila. People step on them, nobody's going to eat them. But it's Mashma that Pirurim that are someplace else, we do have to be Boideka Achar Pirurim. So what's the big avoid of Pesach? To prepare for Pesach, for one thing, before we get to the Yisra Filos Tomit, but because of the Yisra Baliroi, we have to go ahead and be boided our homes from all chomets. What's the process of this bedikas chomets? You all know the process probably by most of you already began, but some of you probably began already after Chanukah sometime, because people are nervous, so they start cleaning for chomets already way before. The cleaning is not bedikas chomets. The cleaning, the Ramah says, is a preparation for bedikas chomets. The Takonas Chazal of Bedikas Chometz was very specific. And they said that Bedikas Chometz has to be Leor Haner, Beshosh and Nevaiz Metsuim Bebotehem, which means it has to be at night, which is the time that people at home are not busy. And it has to be also at night for another reason, because Or Haner, you offer the Bedikas Balayla. Or Haner is only good to make a Bedikas Chometz if you use it at night. What does that mean to us? We have to be in the Katsu because we don't have a whole long time. The Kitzer, what it means to us is that we can clean our homes a whole day and we can have it spotlessly clean, but that does not replace the mitzvah of the Bedikas Chometz. Because the Bedikas Chometz that was done during the day without an air, the Kol HaDeis, you know, the Yoytzeh Bedikas Chometz, and you have to do it again. If it was done with an air, there's a mafoikas where you have to do it again or not. But without a near zikr, you have to go ahead and be boydek for chometz again at night. What are we being boydek for at night with the near? So here already, I think there's a lot of misconceptions amongst the hamoy now. Lemashal, I don't need a near to be boydek my table. On the table, a near is a pretty useless thing because I can just look at my table and see whether there's chometz or not. And then I can take a shmat and I can wipe my table and I know there's no chometz on the table. In a drawer, also, why do I need to use a near in a drawer? I take out the whole drawer, I shake it, I take out the chometz from the drawer, and then maybe I don't have to look for chometz with a near. A near is only helpful in certain mekoymos where it's hard to see, it's hard to get to. The muscle in between the shelf and the wall, inside radiators, in back of between the refrigerator and the stove, those are places where it's very difficult to see without an air. So therefore, there is where you have the chiyuv bedika with an air. What happens usually to us is that we make the bedika chometz and there you dal it. The kind of chazal was to be boydek chometz or le'arbaoto, like the Mishnah says, this year, Tuesday night. However, what happens is that it's such an overwhelming job to really do a good bedika in one night that we run around the house with an air or a flashlight, which, by the way, the hachroes of Hoitzkes Maneinu, all Gedoyles Maneinu, is that you should use a flashlight rather than an air. If you want to keep up the tradition, so you start with an air, but then as soon as you start, blow out the air and switch to a flashlight. Does a better job. Rav Moshe Paskin, Lord, that a flash is as good as an air, and it's less monolith fun. We hear every year of a tragedy of something that happens with an air, and it's certainly a fi halacha better than an air, because with an air you're worried that something chas v'shalom is going to happen. Go crawl into a closet to see if in back of the shelf there is chometz. With an air you're afraid you'll burn down the clothing chas v'shalom. So like this, if you take a flashlight, you don't have to be afraid of that. So again, that's the first point. If my name, all points came across the board, they all machria that a flashlight is better than an air. Some tiny that just to keep up, because there are psukim and maybe I'll see soy, you should use an air. Chapis is usual line, but neiros it says, the government because comments, and I don't think they're going to be looking in your shrine with a flashlight. So maybe start with an air, but you know, after a minute or so, you can go ahead and switch to a flashlight, and then the color day is, that's fine. So now, can't value you dalit, so you have so many rooms to do and so much to do that you wind up doing a half-baked bedika or maybe no bedika at all. And if you do that, then there's a chash of a bracha levatol. If we're making a bracha on the bedika's chometz and value you dalit. So my advice is that those that are cleaning before Pesach, and mostly we have 10 rooms in the house, it's not out of the ordinary today to have 10 rooms in the house. So you finish one room, the bedroom is all clean for Pesach, go there at night, let's say tonight or tomorrow night, and take a flashlight and do a bedika chometz. Then if you watch the room that no chometz should go in there, it becomes a mokum shein b'chnisim b'chometz, which doesn't need a bedika. The next night, do another room or another two rooms. As long as you leave one room, they call a pocket, to do on the night of bedika, then there's no problem with the halacha with doing that, because you are not mevatel the mitzvah the rabbanon of or the arbaoser. You're doing a bedika and or the arbaoser. However, a bracha you cannot make except on yudalit. That's the only time that we're mesakin a bracha on yudalit onwards. That's the only time that we're mesakin a bracha of bedika's chometz. Now, what mekoymos need bedika? So Mishabur is very emphatic and very clear. Those of us that have children at home, then there is no mokum that doesn't need bedika. Children crawl all over, they bring comets to wherever you might not even think that they do, but they do. If that's not the case, then the klal is, komotoshem machnisim or comets, any place that you know for a fact that no comets went in there, and sorry, bedika, you don't have to be bedika. Now, what are the big shilas with bedika's comets that everybody always asks? Do I have to be bedika comets in back of my stove? Okay, halacha, you don't have to be bedika comets in back of the stove. It's, I'm not saying that it's also, or I'm not saying that you are a meshugane if you do, But al pidin, you don't have to, because unless you know for a fact that there is chometz there that's edible, you don't have to move your stove out, because that chometz should not fall all of my toilets. Chometz should not fall all of my toilets. I'm not the priest to hire somebody to pull it out unless I know for a fact that there is a that there's chometz there. But it's just an asofik that there may be chometz there, not pirurim, but actual chometz. I don't have to move something like that out of the bedikas chometz. The other big shayla is tzporin. How about being boiled exploring for chometz? Al pidin, it seems to me anyhow, and here's daiti, and again, I'm not fasting for you, I'm just telling you what I hold. Other rabbanim maybe hold not like that. That any tzporin which you may have brought to the table during the year, which if it was my tzporin, I could tell you that I don't think there's any tzporin that I may not have brought to the table during the year. So in such a case, there may be chometz. Again, the Chofetz Chaim says, and the Chazon Ish says also, that you do have to be voided achar pirurim, shema yovel le'ochlam. We have a chash that you may bring that same sefer over to the table on Pesach, and somehow you wind up eating some of those crumbs on Pesach, or following your food, and they're not bottled, and so on. So you have to be voided any sefer which you may have used throughout the year by the table. The Chazon Ish, Eran Eitzah, he took out a few sforim that he felt he might need over Pesach. The rest of the sforim he covered up and he sold it to a goy. Sold whatever chometz was in the to a goy, and he wasn't boydek. The sforim is the famous mitzvah, the Chazon Ish and the Chabin Erov, that he told the Chabin Erov, he wants to be meshabeach him, that one of the few sforim that he has on Pesach is the Dorish Mesharim, the Chuvot of the Chabin Erov. And the Sabina wrote all the Chazon Ish. I know why, because we didn't use it a whole year. So that's why we left it out on Pesach. But that's the Chazon Ish. That's the halachos of, basically, the kids, the halachos of Bedikas Chometz. So again, should you turn off the lights for Bedikas Chometz or not? Clearly, I don't know. I do know that I saw in the New Haggadah, what's it called, from the Gedolei Ador. I forgot the name of it. It's already two of them, huh? Yeah, the Levon, and so he then brings the Anhogas, the Asher of Shaf, and Moshe Feinstein, and Shom Zaman Orbach, and Rabbi Yashuv, and others, and they all leave the lights on when they do the Bedikas Chometz. So it sounds like that's the. I believe that it's easier to do the Bedikas Chometz with the lights on than in a dark room. So, Mela, why not leave the lights on? The Kasha on that is, which all the guys in the morning for will ask, but if that's so, or Haner is Yochel Bdika by Liza, you're canceling that by putting on the fluorescent. Rafik told me that his father is on the Rafa Ramosh, a big help that if you have overhead fluorescent lights, that has a din already of a Sadr or on his deck, because you don't really need an air there at all, because he has so much light that you can see all over the place. And he held that in his house, there was no place in his house that he knows of. So you talk it really, really bad, that's needed an air to do a bedik. So, but the minhag is to be boidek and to do a good bedik and make a bracha. What's little known about bedik is those of us that go away for Pesach, those that go to hotels specifically, most hotels, from what I understand, are not boidek the rooms for chometz. So when you come to a hotel for Pesach and you're going into a room, and you are the soicher of that room, you have rented that room, there is an absolute chiyuv bedikas chometz in that room that somebody has to do. If you moved into the hotel room on Erev Pesach, so then the hotel was mechuyev on your dalet at night to do the bedikas chometz, because they had it on your dalet. That's the halacha in the Gemara. But that's all in vain, because the mitzvahs, they don't do it. And if they do it, they probably send a goy to do it, which anyhow you're not good. So when you get to the hotel, unless somehow you know that the hotel is sofrum, and the balbatim are sofrum, that they actually hired a couple of yeshiva guys to go be boy to call the rooms, so when you get to that hotel, even if it's during the day, you must take a flashlight, and you must make a brocha, shekichonu ben mitzvot, or shekivonu abiyo chometz, and do bedikas chometz. If you get there Yom Tov night, ask a shayla, but Mi'ikar Adin, then Yom Tov night before the Seder, you have to do the Bedikas Chometz. And if it's during the day, you got to do it during the day. The only shayla is, on Shabbos itself, what do you do about the Bikas Chometz? You realize on Shabbos that they weren't by the Bikas Chometz there, you can't take a Nair, and there is Muksa. So there already it's a more complicated Shaila, and the Halacha we pass in that in those places that you don't need a Nair, you make a Bracha, and you do make a Bikas Chometz and do for Chometz. So that's important to know, that today became almost uncommon to stay home. If you go away for Pesach, it is Mamish Achiyu Bedika with a Bracha. If you're a soiker of the room in the hotel, wherever you may be, the Bika Chometz is a Chiyuv Gomer with a Bracha, and then if you find Chometz, you have to burn it. That's the halacha, that's the clear halacha. If you want to, you can maybe take the hotel to the interior and let him pay Tircha of the Bika, because really it was their Chiyuv, since they had it on all these dollars. It's a whole deal in the first thing where you could sue the maskir who had it on his dalit. So that's true. If anybody has such a thing for the right fee, he can initiate the procedure. But the Bedikas Chometz, the Chiyuv Gomer of the Bedikas Chometz, Yitzhakir has. So that's a good horror. A lot of people don't realize that they go to hotels, they come, they don't even think about the Bedikas Chometz. And you know how to be in a room that you rented without the Bedikas Chometz. Now, we do also another process. And that process is called Mechirat Chometz. And since this is something that everybody does, and everybody is Toymech on Mechirat Chometz, so there's a chair here, by the way. You know. You sure? It's a process of Bedikas Chometz, of Mechirat Chometz. Mechirat Chometz, as it developed in history, you don't find it in the Gemara. You do find a Maisa here and there, Yerushalmi, a Tosefta, where Tanoi sold their chometz when they were stuck and they weren't able to destroy it. But that Mechir was an absolute Mechir. They took their chometz, they gave it to the Goy, the Goy bought it, and the Goy took it, and that was the end of that. That obviously is not a problem. Everybody could do that. That's Mutta, if you could do that, Gevaldi. But as the history developed, they developed something called Mechirat Chometz, where if somebody has a lot of chometz, so rather than throw it out and burn it on Erev Pesach, we go ahead and we take the chometz and we sell it to a goy. Now, that in itself is not a problem at all. Mutar 100%, because once we sell it to the goy, it's not our chometz. There are minor problems with the Mechirat Chometz and there are major problems with the Mechirat Chometz. I'll tell you the minor one first, which is not really a problem, it's a problem that it's easily solved. The halacha is we can't have the chometz of a goy in our homes. That's also al shem ayovo leofo. Chometz of a goy in our homes, the Gemara says he has to put a mechitza shelil in front of it, and he has to put it away in a separate room. The one thing we have to know that if we have chometz and we're making a mechitza chometz, we have to put that chometz away in a specific place. And that place has to be rented to the goy, so the goy's chometz should not be in our property. So that's easily solvable. Whoever sells the chometz has to do that. What is the big problem with the mechiras chometz? The big problem with the mechiras chometz is that in the dinim of kinyonim, how you sell something to somebody without that person actually making a kinyon, meshicha or hagbah, or bringing it into his rishus, is not simple. We are not delivering the chometz to the goy. The goy is not taking possession of that chometz. All we are doing to the chometz, to the goy, is we're making many kinyonim. We try every possible kinyon that you can do, except the one that definitely works. The one that definitely works is meshicha, or the goy takes the talisman and takes it with him and puts his rishus and it is. That's the one that we don't do when we do mechiras chometz. We do a Kenyan Agav Karka, we do a Kenyan Suda, we do a Kenyan Skaf, we do a Kenyan Ketet, we do all kinds of Kenyonim, but we don't do the Kenyan Mashiach. The Kenyonim work. Al-Fidin, Klal Yisrael has been doing Mechirat Chometz for a long, long time. The Shtar Mechirat Chometz has been worked over and over and over and over again by big Gedoylim and big Goynim in Choshem Mishpat, in the Zikin, and all this halach as well. But it's not muskan by everybody. There are those persons that hold that there are problems with the Mechirat Chometz. So therefore, a lot of Gedolim advise that if you are going to sell Chometz only sell that chometz which is worth a lot of money to you. So it's a kind of a hefted merubah. If it's not a hefted merubah, then the advice of the poskim is don't sell it. In addition to that, if all it is a chashash chometz, then you can go ahead and sell it to the guy without any problem. Only sell it from the mechila. What's a chashash chometz? A lot of the chometz that we sell is only a chashash chometz. Deodorant, cosmetics, this type of things that we're machmen not to use on Pesach, but the ma'ase, it's only a chashash chometz, it's not vadeh chometz. So those things you can definitely sell. If it's a hefted merubah, I can't define to you what a hefted merubah is, because each person has to define their own hefted merubah. What may be a hefted merubah for me may not be a hefted merubah for you, or vice versa. I just found out there are chassid of Ramsky Tichonin Lubrov, he used to send a Shabbat Kabbalah of Russia, he used to be a Meshabeach himself, he says, I'm from the biggest place in the door, you can be soymech on me on anything you want in halach, except one thing, I don't want you to be soymech on me, is Mechirat Tom. That's what he used to do at every Shabbat Kabbalah of Russia. So, you have to be aware of that this is the din of the Mechirat Chometz. We do sell Chometz Gomer, and I'm not being Chassid Shalom saying that there's anything wrong with Alpi Halacha with the Mechira, but if it's only a small amount, if you have a couple of tamtams and a quarter of a box of lokshin and 2 ounces of schnapps, so drink it before Pesach, the schnapps, and the lokshin eat it before Pesach, and then that's it, and the cookies you give away to the next door neighbor, and then you don't have to. But if you have a lot, something that's already a sort of a hefset, so Klal Yisrael is always done from the Mechira Filutor, even for Chometz Kom. Now, a few horas on the Mechira Mitzat de Moicher, things that you have to have in mind when you sell the Chometz. When you sell the Chometz, whatever you do it through, and this is across the board, that there is an Issa called Roitze Bekiyuma Shel Chometz. A person is not allowed to want his chometz to exist. You don't want the chometz to be around. When you sell the chometz, what you want is that the goy should give you the money for the chometz, and not that the goy should return to you the chometz instead of giving you the money for the chometz. If you want rather that the goy should return to you the chometz and give you and not give you the money for the chometz, if that's what you prefer, then a lot of achronim hold you over an issa, at least an issa derabanan, a rosh b'kiyuma shel chometz, and a lot of achronim hold that it's mevatel the mechira in ganshin, that's not a mechira chometz. The Ruvah Taboysim writes in a tshuva that if somebody has a bakery in Moshul and he wants to bake chometz immediately after Pesach, and in order to do that he's got to have the ingredients, which some of them may be chometz, so therefore he sells it to the goy, and he's being mispalel the whole Pesach that his goy shouldn't go through with it, that the goy after Pesach, when you go ask him, would you want to sell the chometz back to us, he should say yes, because that way he can make his parnosa and bake the chometz, says in the Rugas Avoysen that he is over an Issa wrote to the Kiyuma Shel Chometz, because he really wants the chometz, not the money. He declared whether he's talking about Yoroi or not is questionable, but he says that he would ask the chometz Shel Avoysen for Pesach, and he wouldn't need such chometz. So whatever they do in stores and this type of places, that's not our private acre, that's up to the Rav, whoever gives the Hechsher there, but for ourselves, so we have to know that when we sell the chometz to the goy, what we really want is that after Pesach, we shouldn't get this chometz back. The chometz should remain by the goy, and we're allowed to want the money. That's zichur. Whatever the chometz is worth, the chometz is not sold to the goy at a discount of 90%. It's a small discount that we give the goy. But we want that mechira should be a final mechira. He should stay by the goy. The prechadosh also holds like that, because it's a interesting case. In Mitzrayim, there was a yid that took a piece of puff wheat, and he wrote on that piece of puff wheat a pasuk, a whole pasuk, I think in Meshkachet Yerushalayim Tishkat Yemini, and he signed his name on one kernel of wheat. And if you looked at it with an amplifying glass, you could clearly read the pasuk in this kernel of wheat. Can't say that it's puff wheat that's coming. So he wants to sell it to the goy. So Pichada says, well, do you want the goy to actually buy this? Hashem, he wants it back after Pesach, but he doesn't want it to become a shovel after Pesach. This is like a pharmacist. They came from all over to look at this unbelievable piece of work. So Pichada says, he has big cooking if you can make a material like that, because he's right to the Kiyuma Shofan. You don't want that kernel of wheat to remain by the Goya, the Goya should give you the worth of the kernel of wheat, even if it's worth more than just some kernel of wheat. You want the piece of wheat back, that's worth to be Kiyuma Shechom, it's not creates a shayla on the Mechiras Chomet. The way we do the Mechiras Chomet is, so you understand it, the Chomet is sold to the Goy completely, it's an absolute Mechira. What he gives us is not a down payment like we know in American law, where let's say somebody buys a house, he gives you a down payment, he owes you a mortgage, he really has ownership on the house. We have absolutely no ownership on this Chomet whatsoever. We cannot come to the Goy at the Pesach, okay, you owe us $1,250,000, pay us so we take the Chomet back. That's not the way it works. If you go to the Goy, you owe us all this money. He says, I don't have it, we're stuck. All we can do is take him to court, or take him to Bezin, take his house, take his possessions, whatever. But we can't take the Chomet back any more than we can take his house or anything else that he owns. Because the Mechira is an absolute outright Mechira. It's not at all attached to the money that he owes us. The way it works, practically speaking, is we go to the Goy on Motzei Pesach, and we ask the Goy, Goy, do you want to sell us the Chomet back? And we give him a good deal, and he says, no problem, I'll sell you the Chomet back, and then we buy it back from him, the same way he bought it from us, the same thing we do backwards, and then we own the Chomet, and the debt, now we owe him the money, so the debt cancels itself out, and that's the way it works. But for that whole entire week of Pesach, the Chomet is his until we actually buy it back. It doesn't cancel itself. That's why you always hear the announcements in shul. Don't use the Chomet for an hour after Yontif. Because it's not the pshat that cancels itself out after Yontif. It doesn't. Until we buy it back, it's the Goy's Chomet. And if you use it, you're using it without his reshus. Many people want to know, after the Mechir, are we renting the place to the Goy? Or any place that the Chomet is in? Are we allowed to go to that place? And we do specifically ask the Goy for Ritus HaRegel, we ask him for permission, can we please go into the room that we're renting to you, because we might have to fix the fuse, we might have to get a light bulb, we might have to do whatever we might have to do there, and the Goy is very gracious about this, and he lets us. In addition to that, if somebody has any monolith one that has to take some kind of medicine, which is Chomet, and the doctor has to take it, so rather you got to take it, there's no choice. The Kuach Nefesh is certainly going to say stuff, but the medicine should be sold to a Goy, so that at least you don't own the medicine on Pesach, then we ask permission from the Goy to be gracious enough to let us take his medicine. All that's spoken out of the Mechiras Chomet, but you should know that that's the way the Mechiras is a very serious thing. If the Moicher thinks that it's some kind of a joke, then Avada the Mechira doesn't take effect. If the Mechira doesn't take effect, then you have to be selling from the Bittul, which means the Rabbanon, you can't be selling from the Bittul. We are explaining the Rabbanon, you need Bedika. Under the category of Bedika, Bedika really means the physical destruction of all Chomets. You can't have any Chomets at all in your possession on Pesach. So therefore, Mechira is a kiyum of Bedika's Chomets. It's a way of destroying your Chomets, or it's a way of getting rid of it. You can physically burn it, or you can sell it to a Goy. You shouldn't sell all your Chomets to a Goy. You should leave over some to the Mekah in the mitzvah of Biur Chomet, which are all according to some Rishonim. What we do when we burn the Chomet, Shol Chamishis, and Erev Pesach is a kiyum of Tashbis to the Raisa, according to many Rishonim. It's not, but with the Rabbanon it certainly is, and therefore you have to leave over some Chomet for that moon. There's a minute to put out 10 tefisim, 10 pieces of bread, it's from the Rizal, the Ramah brings it, we all should do it. However, Mishabura points out, if all you look is for those 10 pieces, it's far of a dover that the broth is a broth of Levatoli. You really have to look for Chomet, not just for those 10 pieces that are put out. In the morning on Erev Pesach, there's an Issur Achila, and then an hour later, there's an Issur Hanor. I don't remember the, but I think they posted this, the time. Yeah, I don't remember them anymore. But 2 hours before Chatzos is an Issur Achila, an hour before Chatzos with the Rabbanon is an Issur Hanor. After the Issur Hanor, you no longer can have any benefit from that Chomet, can no longer be sold to the Goy, so you have to remember those money. Now, as far as preparing the rest of the house, the kashering of the house, we go quickly. I imagine that you want to know how to kasher the house. I imagine that's an important topic. As far as kashering the house, because the Chomet becomes on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, It's also the mashahu, so you can't kasher your house on Erev Pesach. Kasher is before. How you kasher the house is a whole shiur in itself. We could probably spend hours on it. But very bekitza, all countertops have to be covered. The only place where we may put food a whole year must be covered, even though we're pretty certain that we don't put any food there that's that hot. That's the probably boleya. But the minhag in Klal Yisrael already is that we cover all mekoymus where there may be chomet, all mekoymus that we may put our plates on, I mean the table, the countertop, the cabinets, all that is lined before Pesach after they have been cleaned in order to, now, countertops themselves where you may put hot pots and so on should be covered with a heat absorbing material of some sort, cardboard, and then something on top of that that's waterproof, so otherwise it gets destroyed right at the beginning of Pesach, and it's a pretty useful thing. So that's basically the halakhos or the countertop. The most common shaila which I get is how do I kasher my sink and how do I kasher my stove. As far as kashering a sink, I think the Roy Farm already by now has stainless steel sinks. It used to be a time that was a rare thing, but now I think it's very common. There's a din called Kevolah Kafkotu. The way the food got absorbed into the sink, that's how you get the food out. The chomet was absorbed into the sink as if they eruv. You know, you don't cook in a sink. The sink is never a cleavation. However, the water comes from the faucet, or sometimes the marshal will take lokshin. A woman cooks the spaghetti and then she drains it, so she pours all the chomet into water into the sink. So that's called eruv derishon, and that makes the sink chomet sick. In order to make the sink taste of it, you have to do the same process again. You have to take eruv and pour it on the sink and get all the chomet out. The way eruv should be done on the sink, eruv will not work. Let's say I have to do eruv on this table. And I come to this corner and I take a pot of boiling water and I pour it here and I let it roll all the way to the end of the other table. That's not eruv. Eruv is the water that's poured here. The water that's from here rolled around the table and got to that corner, by the time we got to the corner where a Moshe is sitting, it's already cooled off and it's already not a din of eruv. Because in a simple Moshe, what are we afraid of? That you may have poured that spaghetti water on any part of that sink. So if you pour in one corner of the sink boiling water, it won't absorb the chomet which is absorbed on this side of the sink. So that's kosher. What do we have to do? We have to pour the boiling water on each part of the sink directly from a pot, and that requires quite a few pots. You will not do with one pot of water, because what happens is you're going to run out of water as you get to each section. Start from the very middle bottom of the sink and you work your way outwards and then towards the top of the sink until you do the whole eruv. There are poskim, Rabbi Kiva Egel and Moshe says in Shulchan Aruch that eruv, the halacha is eruv is boleya kedei klipa. Eruv means if I pour chomet, hot chomet, and two sinks, a klipa is a shum. This is the shell of a shum, is the amount that the chomet goes into the sink. Rabbi Kiva Egel says, but if I keep pouring in the same spot, it pushes that klipa a little bit deeper in. The poskim not hold that way. So therefore, one eruv will not be sufficient. That's why the many, I think the majority of poskim hold that you have to use an even meluvenis in order to kasher something that requires eruv. An even meluvenis means to take a hot stone, you heat it on the fire, when you pour the water on the sink, then you take either, you put the stone there so that the water flows over the stone and gets reheated. So now the water is much hotter than the original eruv, and that will kasher it. Or you pour the water on the sink and then you take a hot stone and go around the whole entire sink with the hot stone, reheating that water, and you kasher it that way. In this machlokes is a poskim, I can tell you that the Eshal Milismos, if you find it difficult to do the Eben is something that's a little bit of a sakon if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what you are doing, and you've never done this before, then my advice is to summon from the Mechilim and do a careful eruv directly in each part of the sink. There's another Eitzah that some people have, is they heat up the sink before with a torch,
You're not kashering with the torch, because if you get this thing hot enough that you can't kosher with the torch, you probably pretty much destroyed it. But you can get this thing a little bit hot, so that when you pour the boiling water, it doesn't cool it that much, and that way, that's how we kosher in all the catering establishments. That's how they kosher things today. They take a torch, they heat it up a little bit, or a stainless steel table. They pour the table is hot. They pour the water on it, and that has already a din of more than iru. It's almost an irishin, and you kosher that way. The stove. If you have a self-cleaning oven, most poskim, I say most, because there's some hold that you can't kosher even a self-cleaning oven by itself, since it's a porcelain surface. But if you do have a self-cleaning, the great majority of poskim hold between it, put it to one cycle, and that kashers the stove for Pesach. Avada, you should take out all excess food that's in the oven before you do that. However, this on the door itself, it doesn't get that hot, so there's a lining on the door, a gasket on the door, that should be covered with aluminum foil or some kind of sort of thing of that, and then that kashes the stove. You don't happen to be lucky to have a self-cleaning oven, so our moisture already held that you can't kash it. Of course, an oven with evil cows, other questions.